Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. It is Saturday, August 18th. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen, along with Mike. Mike, how are you?
Doing okay, sir. How's it going out there in Vegas?
It's hot. It's hot, hot, hot. Hot and humid. But it's starting to cool down a little bit. You can kind of feel a change in the air. So, you know, it's not like 160, like 90 as a high. So hopefully by next month it'll be 80s as a high. But anyway, join us in our chat room by going to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and clicking on Patrick Cooper's name. Give us a call at 646-716-5485. 646-716-5485. Keyboardist Patrick Cooper is the newest member of Mike's Mastermind Entertainment Group. Mike is now his manager, and so we are going to be talking to Patrick about that and his latest CD, The Way It Used to Be. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thanks for having me.
Well, happy to have you on. So first I'd like to know how you and Mike met. So, Mike, you want to tell us about that?
Well, I first met Patrick in Baltimore, Maryland at a show he did. He opened up for Mike Phillips out there and everything in May. Like I said, I went up to see Mike, and, you know, Mike's doing the Immortal World Tour with Cirque du Soleil. So, you know, I've seen Patrick, and he had performed and had another young lady sing with him named Shane. That's from the area, and you know, I actually, and then it's funny because Brian Lanier, saxophonist Brian Lanier, he was with me. We were sitting at the table, and I'm like, "Yo, who is this guy on the keys? You know, he sounds pretty good." So he's like, "Man, that's Patrick, man." He said, "Patrick's a good dude, and Patrick's really nice, man. He just, you know, everybody says the same thing. Everybody I've talked to says the same thing about Patrick. He's a good guy, can play, and he just needs to have somebody help him to get out." And get his music heard and everything. I've talked to Brown Lanier about him, David Dyson, who, you know, everybody knows David Dyson, you know, bassist David Dyson. So everybody I've talked to said, you know, Patrick is a good guy, and, you know, he just needs somebody to help him get his music out there and get heard, because he really deserves it. You know, he's a really good guy. So I met him and got the CD and took him home to listen to him. I'm like, wow, this is hot. So I called him up after that, and we just started talking, and, you know, and the vibe was there, so I just said, you know, come on, let's go ahead and do this.
Well, I think, Patrick, you have in Mike a dedicated person. I mean, you know, he will give his all, 100%, to help you, you know, get you out there and stuff.
I see that. I see that. Even just from the first time that I met him, you know, I could sense that, you know, that he was sincere about what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just excited about just knowing what the future holds for us. So I'm excited about that.
I am too. I think you're in good hands with Mike. He manages other artists as well, and you know, he does put in 100%. He tries to get his artists gigs, and he tries to get them out there. He promotes them heavily, and you know, so you guys would be a good fit together. So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
That's good. That's good. All right, so Patrick, let's talk about Portland, because I want to move to Seattle, and I know you're originally from Portland, but you are now in the D.C. area. So was that move to the D.C. area for your career?
Yes, it was, actually. What happened, how it happened, was my sister, she was, well, she's still in the service, but she, at the time, she was expecting. And so they had actually moved her, the Army had moved her out to, you know, Virginia. And so and so I said, you know, hey, let me go check it out and just to see, you know, see what's out there. So when we moved, you know, I kind of went here, just kind of paid a visit when she was out here. And with me just stepping foot onto D.C. soil, I said, this is where I need to be. And just, you know, and especially just the scene with the music and just the appreciation of just music, not only jazz, but just all sorts of music that's here. I said, yeah, this is where I need to be. And so what I did was I started applying for jobs out this way and got a job, and the rest is history.
Wow, okay. And it's good that you and Mike are in the same place. That makes it much easier.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's good. Yeah. That's good. All right.
Now, I have a question. Now, as far as being from Seattle, how was the music scene out there compared to out here?
Well, from Oregon, I mean, the scene is starting to grow. I mean, I would say that the appreciation for jazz, they're more or less on the side of the straight-ahead jazz there. It's a small scene. I mean, you do have an appreciation for that. But just what it is being here is just so huge. I mean, there's always a party. Just, you know, there's always a party thrown. There's always something going on where they're going to need live music. Whereas there, it's not as large, and so you just don't have as many opportunities. So,
right.
So,
okay. All right, so now your latest CD is called The Way It Used to Be. This is your second CD, and the cover is very retro. Elvis Presley is on the cover. There's a old-time, sort of a retro microphone on the cover. Are you more of a, like, the 70s music buff? Is that your style?
I would say that. I mean, I just gave it that name, yeah, just because I wanted to go back to it. Live instrumentation. I mean, a lot of the music nowadays is, you know, digital, electronic drums, you know, not real players on it, you know, like bass or whatever, no real bass players. And so what I wanted to kind of do was go back to that time where you were actually having live instruments. So I think what happens is that once you record that, in each individual player, they have their own personality, which exudes through the CD, the project, and so, and people can feel that. So that's what I was trying to approach. And I've actually made that my goal on each CD that I do. That is going to be, there's going to be always live drums, always live bass, because it just makes the CD that more special.
Now, Mike tells me that you have your own home studio, so that makes it much easier for sure.
Exactly.
To do that. And so I love that too, because I remember, you know, you're right, with the live instrumentation, it does give it the music such a different feel and vibe to it. And there's not to say there's anything wrong with the way that the music is being done today, but it's just having that live feel to it just gives it a different feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. So who's on this CD, The Way It Used to Be? Who's working with you on this?
As Mike mentioned, one of the persons that I deal with is David Dyson. He's on there. He's actually on several of the tracks. Philip Martins is one of the sax players. A lot of people know him. Philip Doc Martins is probably known by. He's on there. Brian Mills, who's actually, he plays in a group that called Secret Society that I play with, actually. He's on there. I mean, the list goes on. They also have someone from Oregon, someone who actually I grew up with. His name is Nehemiah Booker. He actually sang on the song titled "I'm That Man." So I have this laundry list of people on there. You know, people that I've respected over the years. You know, their musicianship.
Okay. Well, let's listen to some music from this CD. Again, we're talking to keyboardist Patrick Cooper. His latest CD is called The Way It Used to Be, and you can find this on Amazon. And follow Patrick on Facebook. His website is P. Coop Jazz. I like that, P. Coop Jazz. And he's on Twitter at M, as in Mary, Keys 88. All right, let's start with the first track, Stretton. Tell me about this one.
You know, I was actually sitting on the keyboard one day, and I said, and I just was playing. I said, hey, I started to like this. It's kind of funny. The tune was actually written in, like, well, I would say probably 10 minutes. It just kind of came to me. I was thinking of Jeff Lorber when I wrote this tune, actually.
Okay. All right, this is Stretton. All right, that was Stretton from Patrick Cooper's latest CD, the way it used to be. Let me welcome to the chat room Farnell Newton. Hey, Farnell. And we have a listener from Asia, talks about righteousness, listening from Asia, and they are in the chat room as well. So welcome, everyone. Again, if you would like to join us, go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Patrick Cooper's name, and that will bring you right into the chat room. The phone number is 646-716-5485. So now, Patrick, on this CD, I know that you said that you wanted to go back to the live instrumentation on it and all of that, but did you have other, another concept or other plans for it, other vision for it?
Yeah, and what I wanted to do is just to do a little bit more improvisation, I know that a lot of the music nowadays is, sometimes it's, the improvisation is kind of taken out just because you're trying to reach a certain format to get played on the radio. And so I wanted to kind of, step out of that and basically just, whenever I can, I wanted to actually do as much improvisation as I possibly can on each one of the tunes where, like I said, sometimes it can be lacking on some of the music that's played nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then how did you meet David Dyson and Martin Phillips? Philip Martin,
David Dyson, it's kind of funny. It was when I first moved to the D.C. area, I met a guy that actually was the first band I played with. I met a guy who was kind of taking me around town, just kind of showing me the different music scenes or whatever, by the name of David Prince. He's actually a very good guitar player in this area. But he took me to a gig and he said, hey, this is one guy that you need to meet, David Dyson. At that time, I didn't meet him in person. I didn't meet him. But it's kind of funny as things evolved. I started playing in bands or whatever. And I'd say probably a couple of years after that, I actually was able to meet him, and so we've actually become very good friends since then. So, just being in the scene, been able to meet people that way.
So now, do you feel that your move to D.C. was really very beneficial for you?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah?
I would not have it any other way. Yes, it was a huge, it benefited me hugely.
Wow. And, I was going to ask you that about how you met the guys and everything, being so new to the area. And also, like you play with a couple of groups now, Secret Society, and you play with Dave and Phil Martin. But I was also going to ask you, with the young gentleman that sings on that track, how do you go about selecting who you want to play and guest on your CDs and everything? Because your two CDs, you kind of had the same core group guys, but how do you go about selecting who you want for certain songs?
Because every musician has their own voice, and basically, when I write a tune, I can kind of hear. I say, okay, this sounds like this needs David on it. Or if I don't think this is a song that fits David's personality or his voice, then I'm saying I know someone else who I think this would actually fit. The tunes actually speak to me. Might kind of sound funny, but when I write a tune, it actually speaks to me. So I almost think of it as living and breathing, basically. So so that's how it works for me.
And I also read an interview that you did where you were asked about your music and how your music inspires you, and you said that sometimes it comes to you in your dreams. Do you always dream about your music?
it actually does. A lot of the tunes that I do write, it comes to me in dreams. Like the song I'm That Man, which is the love song, it's kind of funny. That whole tune came to me in a dream. And as soon as I woke up, I ran right to my keyboard and had to lay it down so I wouldn't forget it. So, a lot of my music does come to me in dreams.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now Farnell Newton is in the chat room. He lives in Portland, and he wants to know, when are you coming back for a visit?
I'm looking at doing that before the end of this year, actually. Hopefully it will be in September when I can make it back. I've been, I'm reviewing my schedule as we speak, to see when I can make it back that way. But I will be there, hopefully in September.
Okay, all right. Now, Mike had mentioned the band that you planned, but you also were a co-founder of a band called In Touch, and I vaguely remember that band. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was that was back in what, man, 02, excuse me, not 02, actually 92. I played with my brother-in-law, by Eldon T. Jones. He's a saxophone player in Oregon. Very, very good saxophone player. He mentioned to me, hey, Patrick, we should look at starting the band together. At that time, I was not the best keyboard player. but we started together. And that was actually a starting block for me to help me in my composing. It helped me and with regards to my soloing and just being, just having a stage presence. So, like I said, 92, and then I met, we had another guy by the name of Chris Turner, who was a keyboard player. We all kind of came up at that same time, and it's kind of funny to see us now how we have grown from that time.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And you mentioned that you at that time was not the best keyboard player, and that just kind of I thought of a question from that. When you do a song and the song is completed, it's done, it's all completed, and you listen to it and you don't like it because you think you're not playing as well as you think you could or should, will you redo that song over again?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Myself, I am a huge perfectionist when it comes to music. I mean, I listen to my music over and over and over again before it leaves my studio, just because I want to make sure. Because once it leaves my home, once it leaves my studio, it's out there. I can't take it back. And so my point is that, I want to try to make sure that it's out there and it has its best foot forward when it's out there.
Okay. All right. Now, the next song I'm going to play is called Come Sunday, and I read that you are the musical director at your church.
Mm-hmm.
How has that do you get like feedback from the church members from, about playing gospel music at church and then being a jazz musician and playing secular music out in the world, as we, quote unquote, would say?
It's funny. Back, I would say probably 20 years ago, you would get a bunch of kickback with regards to that. But I think that now they have started to embrace that. I mean, it's not about the actual music. It's about the content. It's about the person's heart that the music, where it actually is coming from. And so, I don't receive a bad response about it, because they actually, they'll hold jazz concerts where I'm actually performing, and they allow me to, offer my CDs to the congregation. So they love it.
Good. Okay. All right. Tell me about Come Sunday.
Come Sunday. It's actually, the title of Come Sunday came from my grandmother, because she's from the South, and she would always say, she's going to do this or do that come Sunday. So that's the actual title came from, Come Sunday. But really, I wrote this song with a bass player in mind who was supposed to do the lead of the track, and it almost sounds like a bass player's type of tune. But I said, I'm going to go ahead and do it and have the piano lead the tune. So that's where that came from.
Okay, this is Come Sunday from Patrick Cooper's The Way It Used to Be. Come Sunday from Patrick Cooper's The Way It Used to Be CD. I'd like to read a review from Chris Mann, and he is from smooth-jazz.de. And Chris says, the only thing to do when this CD ends is press play again and let the combination of the soulful, the groovy, and the classic wash over you again. Patrick Cooper, in these 8 original compositions, has taken the best of the 70s soul and funk vibe and brought it bang up to date with a punchy and purposeful production. You can read that entire CD on that website, read the entire review on smooth-jazz.de. Great review there.
Thank you.
Now, do you read the reviews when they come out?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
I'm scared, like, oh, boy, should I read this one? You know, but I am so thankful that all of them have been very, very good reviews. Very good reviews.
Oh, good, good. Now, go ahead, Mike.
No. I was actually going to just say that, you know, both the tracks that were played were very hot tracks and everything, and that, you know, when you, like I said, you mentioned that you're a perfectionist and everything, but how do you feel when the final product is out? How do you feel when somebody comes to you and say, yo, like with the review, good review, how do you feel when somebody compliments you on your music, knowing that you're doing a great job, you know, making good music for people to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, how do I feel when folks compliment me?
Yeah, to know that, you know, all right. Your hard work has really been appreciated by the fans out there.
You know what? You know, all I can say is that this is something that that's given to me. I have no control over it, you know. So I can't say that, you know, it's by my hands that it was done. So, you know what I'm saying? All I can do is say that it was actually God that has given me this gift. So, I mean, all I can say is thank you. But really, I just, as soon as someone tells me that, I say it's not me, it was God that gave me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Patrick's first album is called That Day, and I read that a song, What Must I Do, was used in a movie. Tell me about that.
The movie was called Contradictions of the Heart, and it was back in 2007, yeah. And it was kind of funny. I was able to go through the red carpet and everything for that movie. I don't know if it actually hit the silver screen, but I think it went to went to DVD. I'm sure it didn't go to silver screen because I would have known about it. But it just went to DVD. But the thing about it was I was happy to see that a song was actually was recognized and be able to be in a movie. So, yeah.
Now, did you submit it or did someone contact you about it?
It was actually through. I was working with a manager actually. I'll go ahead and say his name, Dwight Mims. Someone from this area, he actually said, hey, Patrick, I have someone who is interested in putting one of your songs in a movie. And I was like, okay, let's do it.
All right. That's not bad. All right. Okay, so now you're working on another CD. Mike, he was telling me about his next CD and, you know, his vision for that. So tell Mike about that. I think that would be really interesting for Mike to hear.
And I'm working on 2, so I'll be doing 2 simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
But the one that I'm really pushing, I've actually already got the logo and everything. It's called PCP, not the drug. But
that's oh, Lord.
I don't even know if that's a drug now anyway. You know, maybe I'm dating myself. But it's called the Patrick Cooper Project. Basically what it is, it's going to be an infusion of hip-hop, jazz, and R&B. And so what I'm looking at doing is it's going to have some rap on it, but also I'm looking at getting some top-tier artists to actually sing on the CD also. Again, it's going to be all live instrumentation, but it's going to be just almost like an experiment. It's like, it's going to be a project that I'm hopefully it's going to be received well, because I have a bunch of music that's kind of in my computer and a bunch of ideas, and I just want to release it and see what happens. So,
wow.
We'll see.
And you know, when he just mentioned the fact that he wanted to do a project with rap and hip-hop and, you know, other genres like that on there, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was Sean E. Mack from Impromptu.
Oh,
Oh, yes, yes.
That's the first thing that came to my mind was that, you know, that would be hot because, you know, Impromptu is no longer a group, but, you know, Sean still performs as Impromptu with, you know, other artists sometimes. So that's the first thing that came to my mind, like, yo, you know, Sean E. Mac would be good to do a little rap song with Patrick or something. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree with you, Mike. That's so true. I agree with you. I loved Impromptu. I hated that they split up. But, yeah, he would be perfect.
Yeah, very good, dude. Exactly.
Oh, man, that would be good. Well, I thought you would like that with the rap side of it, because you are into rap, so I thought you would like that.
Yeah.
I thought you would like that. All right, Patrick, let's go with the title track, The Way It Used to Be. You've basically kind of told us about the CD and the concept behind that, so I'm just going to go right into the song. Again, we're talking to keyboardist Patrick Cooper. His latest CD is called The Way It Used to Be, and this is the title track.
Thank you.
All right, that was the title track to Patrick Cooper's latest CD, The Way It Used to Be. And Patrick, a couple of comments from Farnell in the chat room. Number one, he said, come Sunday is dope. And number two, the next time you make a record and don't call him, there's going to be a fight.
I was just going to mention that, you know, we've already talked about that. I'm going to be talking to him. He is an awesome trumpet player and awesome brass arranger, so we're going to be talking about some. We're definitely going to be working together on this next one.
Okay. Please, because I don't want to hear about the fight on Facebook.
Maybe that's the reason Ruby was asking why I was coming back to Portland, so he can beat me up.
Yeah. All right, so what are you and Mike working on, you know, in terms of your next gig or future gigs?
Well,
Mike,
I'm trying to put Patrick out there, and you know, of course, you know, we got to do the whole, you know, core promoter, the promoter tells us no, he never heard of him, and the whole, you know, same thing I did with, you know, Mr. Exum and things like that, and then, you know, fighting for them to give him a chance to give him, you know, just an opportunity to get his music exposed to, you know, that promoter's, that certain promoter's market and everything. So, you know, we're just going through that phase, and, you know, I'm trying to build Patrick's name and build him into a name brand musician where, you know, because right now everything is about, you know, your name and if you can draw seats and draw people and put people in seats, that's all a promoter cares about. You know, they don't care how good your music is and all that. They like, look, can you bring me some people that's going to actually hear that good music, you know. But, you know, Patrick, as far as, you know, I'm trying to work on, Patrick's going to be playing with, actually playing with Tony Exum Jr. on October 12th at the Cochran Gallery of Art. We're doing a show for the United Arab Emirates, the people from the U.S. Embassy called us up, and I got Patrick on this with Tony, you know, to get them, you know, together and do a show together up here for the United Arab Emirates and everything. So that should be a good show and everything. But as far as that, I think Patrick is doing his thing with Secret Society. They're, like, ripping the stages up everywhere across the D.C. area. You know, they're one of the hottest bands out right now.
Now, Patrick, in speaking in terms of the promoters and all, before Mike came on board, did you have someone helping you book gigs, or were you doing that yourself?
I was doing that myself. And yeah, and really, you know, just to kind of piggyback on what he said, what Mike was saying, you know, what I've been doing right now is just doing a huge push with getting myself, sending emails to all the festivals. I mean, I've kind of wanted to kind of broaden myself instead of just doing that in the U.S., I'm speaking of abroad. So I've been doing as much, shooting out as much emails as I possibly can because I say that you can sit in your chair and just wait for the call, or you can make the call happen yourself. So
that's right.
I think that, you know, I'm going to make that thing happen. I'm going to break down the doors. It's not going to, you know, they're going to be the ones. It's going to be the point where I'm going to break the doors down. So essentially, they'll be calling me after I've made all the work happen. So
that's right.
So yeah,
that's right. Okay.
I'm thankful for Mike, and he's in my corner. I see that, you know, what he has been doing. I see the little plugs he's been putting online and everything. So I'm very excited, like I said. I'm excited about it.
Well, good. I am, too. I'm excited for both of you. I know how Mike works with his artists, and I know how, you know, dedicated he is to them. And he does try his very best to get them out there. He really does. So I think, again, you're in good hands with him. Definitely. I'd like to read one more review, and this one is from thesmoothjazzride.com by Ronald Jackson. Ronald says about The Way It Used to Be, all in all, a solid project deserving of a place in your collection. Patrick Cooper is not one to overlook, and The Way It Used to Be serves as more than just a reminiscent trip down memory lane, much more. That entire review you can read on thesmoothjazzride.com. For that review. Some good reviews for your music, and there's other reviews on Patrick's website as well, pcoopjazz.com. He's gotten some great reviews on this CD, so that's good. I'm looking forward to the next one.
And you know, in turn, what I wanted to ask Patrick too was he made a video to what's the song with the guy singing? Oh my God, I'm that man.
Mm-hmm.
Very professionally well done video. Now, what made you do a video to one of your songs?
I just felt it was, you know, everyone's hitting the radio market. I said, you know what, I think another thing about it, even though I knew it probably wouldn't bring any money just because of, you know, it's not, you know, essentially videos don't really bring in much money, but I figured, you know, I just catch it from a different angle. I mean, especially in jazz, you don't see a lot of jazz videos out there. I said, I'm just going to do it from a different angle. And I figured I wanted to do that. I had some connections out in Oregon and in Washington State, and I said, let's make it happen. So there we were.
It was very nice. It was very nicely done. I mean, and it was different. I don't like you said. I don't see too many jazz artists doing that. I know that me and Turner, that Brian Culberson did a little video for one of his songs that he posted on Facebook and everything. But that was so professional done. I'm like, yo, that was hot. It was hot the way you did it. So, I would advise any artist or even like to yourself to keep doing that, because even though it's not bringing any money, the fact that you take your musicianship so seriously that you put that out there,
mm-hmm.
that speaks volumes about, you know, what you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. And that's just another avenue of exposure. We interviewed a young artist a while back who has videos and stuff on YouTube, and he told us that his videos sometimes get him gigs. So you just never know, you know, and that's just another avenue of exposure. And I, Mike and I talk all the time about how artists always need to have somebody at their concerts with some type of video camera recording their concerts so they can post it up on their pages and their websites and stuff so people can see that and see how you perform.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm going to close the show with that song, I'm That Man. And again, congratulations to you and Mike. I think you guys are going to be well together. Great partnership there. And I'm looking forward to Mike's post about you being here and you being there. I'm looking forward to that and to the new PCP CD as well.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we're going to get your hat, sir. He's going to get your hat.
I don't even think he, like Patrick said, I think the new PCP is called ICE now. I think that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna tie something together with that PCP and somehow get you high or something. Like, hey, I'm gonna do something like that. Get out here.
Oh, there you go.
Too funny.
Well, now Patrick, before I let you go, is there anything else that you would like the listeners to know about you?
Just be on the lookout. I mean, you know, definitely, as you stated, you can follow my page, you can go to my page and follow me on Facebook and Twitter, which is www.pcoopjazz, PCOOPJAZZ.com. And it shows where I'm at, you know, if you're in town or wherever, or, you know, it shows you where I'm the next place I'm gigging.
Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, he's M has in Mary Keys 88 on Twitter. So definitely follow him there.
And you know, I just want to say this before we do let Patrick go, that when I met him, he reminded me so much of David Dyson in terms of, you know, when you talk, you know a genuine dude when you meet him. You know, you know a lot of guys that are really nice and so. And Patrick's a really professional guy, a really nice guy. And I met him like, yo, this cat reminds me of David, because, you know, as soon as he plays his gigs, he packs up his keyboards and he's gone. You know, and Patrick knows what I'm talking about, because David, when he plays, Dave doesn't stay around to shake hands and meet people. Dave packs his bass up and he's rolling. And Patrick does the same thing. I'm like, yo, you know, but that's the kind of dude. But he's a very nice guy, and he has that kind of shyness to him. You know, when you meet him, you're like, you know, this is a nice guy, but he's still kind of not as outgoing as some other guys, you know. But, you know, you can tell that Patrick's a genuine guy. And like I said, he's a real joy to talk to and a real guy, you know, a good dude to hang around and be around.
And can I throw in from a woman's point of view that Patrick is quite handsome as well? So that's a good.
Thank you.
Why are you laughing?
Thank you. I wasn't expecting that. Thank you.
Quite handsome as well, and that's a plus as well. So, you know, you got three things going for you. You got Mike, your music, and your looks.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. Now, first of all, tell me about this song, I'm That Man.
This song, the whole entire song came to me in a dream. And as soon as I got up from my slumber, got up to the piano and laid it down. So this is all from a dream.
And the vocalist?
And the vocalist, I'm sorry, yeah. And that's Nehemiah Booker. He is actually located in Washington State. Someone I grew up with, very awesome vocalist. He also has several CDs out. Check him out too. Nehemiah Booker.
Nehemiah Booker. All right. Well, thank you again, Patrick, for giving us the opportunity to speak with you. And I'm looking forward to seeing good things from you and Mike.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is I'm That Man. Let me thank those in the chat room. Talk about righteousness from Asia. Thank you for joining us from Asia. It's 4 in the morning there. And she joined us, and she's listening in. She's in the chat room. So thank you so much for that. Farnell, the guest, and the SNS Jukebox, thank you all for tuning in and listening to our interview with Patrick. We will be back on Tuesday with who am I? Oh my gosh! You know what? I'm looking at the calendar, and I didn't write it down on my wall calendar. So I have to look at my other calendar here. But we will be back on Tuesday with. Oh my God! Who is it?
Isn't that Kevin Tony?
No. Michael Lynch. Michael Lynch was a American Idol contestant in 2010, and he just released his self-titled CD, so we will be talking to him on Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, about his music. All right, you've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again next time. Patrick, thank you again, and much continued success to you.
Thanks for having me.
And this is I'm That Man from his The Way It Used to Be CD. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Please visit our websites, TalkingSmoothJazz.com and Mastermind-Entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.